Well, if you've walked down an Australian street lately, you're probably aware of the huge number of cavoodles around the place, the highly popular dog breed you get by crossing a cavalier with a poodle. But now on Sunday Extra, we're going to discuss some more remote crossbreeding, the result of which is growlers and pizzlies. And they're not dogs, but bears. A growler is the bear you get if the father is a grizzly and the mother is a polar bear. And a pizzly is what you get when the father's polar and the mum's grizzly. The December issue of New Scientist magazine had a piece about, quote, what the family drama of interbreeding polar and grizzly bears reveals. And it speculates on the connection between growlers and pizzlies and the impact of climate change. Joining us this morning to discuss growlers and pizzlies is Andrew DeRoche, Professor of Biological Sciences at the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Canada. Andrew's been studying polar bears for more than 40 years and is the author of Polar Bears, A Complete Guide to Their Biology and Behaviour. Andrew, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
It's great to have you. Now, Andrew, before we talk about current interbreeding, is it right that polar bears originally evolved from grizzly bears?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's the ancestral species for polar bears. And it's a little hard to tell when they separated, but we estimate somewhere from around 500,000 years ago to several million years ago. How do we know? Well, we can look at the genetics of both species and we can sort of figure out roughly the timing of separation. Now, it's a little tricky, because while we're talking about modern hybrids, we also know that there are hybrids in the deep past as well.
So, I mean, how closely related are polar bears and grizzly bears these days?
Well, they definitely are what we call sibling species. And that means that they're pretty close. And we know that they're probably less than 4 to 5 million years of separation in time, because at that point in mammals in general, that's when you, if you get hybridization, the offspring are infertile. And of course, for the hybrids that we've had in more modern times, we know that those ones are fertile and can cross with either parent species. So in that context, they're pretty close, but nobody would mistake a polar bear for a grizzly bear or vice versa.
Yeah, right. It's really interesting then that they can breed as well. So how common is this interbreeding, and what do we know about it?
Well, we know modern hybrids occurred up in the Canadian archipelago. So those are the islands off the mainland of Canada. This area has been warming, and we know that grizzly bears have been moving off of the mainland onto these islands over time. And they finally set up enough animals that they've sort of pushed up into the edge of polar bear habitats. And it turns out when we look at all the hybrids we know, they all originated from one female polar bear. And she mated with two different male polar bears, and that's where all the hybrids came from. And so it's not a common event. It's kind of an unusual thing. But, you know, what happens is with mammals, the males usually disperse first, and they get into these new habitats. And, of course, they get up into areas where there are no female grizzly bears, and they're feeling a little bit lonely. And, of course, love is blind. There's a polar bear. She smells right. She looks like. She just turns out to be a blonde. And that's where the hybrids came from.
And you say where all the hybrids came from. How many are there? How big are these populations?
Yeah, most of the hybrids we know about were actually taken by Inuit hunters. So the only hybrids I've seen up close, besides some stuffed ones, were actually sitting in the kitchen of an Inuit hunter in a town called Ulahaktuk. His wife was there scraping the hides. The mother polar bear in that case was actually, she's dead and she's outside bleaching in the sun. So part of the issue here is in the north, most Inuit are pretty comfortable being around polar bears. They're not really that fond of hanging around grizzly bears. So there's a bit of a bounty on those grizzlies when they show up. They tend to wreck cabins and tend to be pretty disruptive of things. They're unpredictable, let's say.
And forgive me if I'm getting confused on my terminology, but the population that you're talking about, they're growlers, are they?
Well, you know, that's something that the media loves. Growers,
sure.
Pizzlies. I mean, we really just call them hybrids.
Right,
There's no official name because hybrids actually occur in a lot of different mammals. You know, in Canada, we can get wolves and coyotes. That's pretty common. We've got a couple of species of deer where I live here and they hybridize. Now, their offspring aren't fertile, but we get lynx and bobcats. They hybridize. So it's pretty common around mammals that they're not that fussy. And it just depends on how much time is separated, whether the offspring are viable.
And because they can breed, which is relatively rare with hybrids, does that mean that the population numbers, though they are small, are increasing?
No, we don't have any evidence that they're increasing. But one thing we are seeing is that as the climate is warming in the Arctic, grizzly bears are actually expanding their ranges. So they're showing up in places where we've never seen them in modern times. Now, maybe pre-glacial, they might have been in these areas, but they're really spreading out. Climate change is going to be really good for grizzly bears because in the Canadian Arctic, they actually hibernate for up to 7 months over winter. And they just emerge in the springtime right around the mating season for them, but also for polar bears. And that's where these hybrids are coming from. So we are suspicious that we may see some more in the future. But when we've looked at the genetics of grizzly bears and polar bears, we don't see any intermixing in those two groups of animals, at least except for these hybrids.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Andrew DeRoche, Professor of Biological Sciences and polar bear expert, the author of The Complete Guide on them, no less. Andrew, I mentioned that New Scientist magazine article, which is titled What the Family Drama of Interbreeding Polar and Grizzly Bears Reveals. And this does really focus on various speculations about the impact of changes to the polar environment on interbreeding and hybrids. Could you run us through what those speculations are and what you make of them?
Well, you know, I think that one of the problems is that trying to predict the future is kind of a bit of a loser's game once you're talking about deep into far away time sort of scale. When we look at what's likely to happen with climate change in the Arctic is we expect that all around the edge of the current range of polar bears, they're probably going to disappear. So those southern populations are probably going to blink out. This is some of the places where grizzly bears and polar bears actually overlap right now. So it doesn't really play out well for polar bears over time. And they also have a pretty tiny genetic base. So they're not very variable. So a polar bear anywhere in the Arctic is quite similar genetically to other polar bears. Now, grizzly bears, in contrast, are much more diverse. And we could see something similar to what we're seeing in Canada in places like northern Russia, where both species co-occur as well. In the longer term, I think we're going to see probably polar bears retracting and moving further northward over time, grizzly bears expanding. I think grizzly bears are going to be the big winner in the longer term, just that they can eat just about anything. And polar bears really only persist where we have enough sea ice for long enough in a year. And a lot of places we're getting to the limits of how long the ice is in place.
It seems like one of the questions that was being considered in this, in the New Scientist, was whether, given that sort of relatively grim prospect for the polar bears, there might be some benefits to this interbreeding, even though, as from what you've said, it's very limited. What do you make of that thought?
I think that's highly unlikely. When you look at, if you took a picture of a polar bear and a picture of a grizzly bear, they're just absolutely different things. I mean, one is a brown terrestrial omnivore. They eat absolutely anything. The other one is a white marine obligate carnivore. They really only exist if they can eat seals. And if you're kind of a dirty white polar bear that's kind of looking a bit like dad, half grizzly, half polar bear, that's not really the best camouflage for trying to sneak up on seals. There's an evolutionary reason why polar bears went white, and it's that seals don't want to be eaten.
Despite their common genetic and evolutionary history, Andrew, is it possible to answer a question like, how do polar bears and grizzly bears actually get on?
Oh, yeah, it is, because we have seen them interact. I mean, sometimes we get dead whales on the coast in the Arctic, and everybody comes for a free meal. Grizzly bears rule. They're just ornery critters. There's just no way past it. I've studied Arctic grizzly bears, and I've caught a lot of bears in my career over 40 plus years, and You give me a polar bear, they're just totally zen. They're totally relaxed about the capture. Grizzly bears are just chaotic. One minute you're chasing them in a helicopter, the next minute they're chasing you. It's really just like that, whereas polar bears just kind of look around and go, what's going on? When they get together, grizzly bears win. They just run them off, and polar bears are just kind of like the confused cousin that doesn't know what's going on, and they just run away. We have had a few cases in the past where grizzly bears have actually killed polar bears, mainly younger ones. So grizzly bears rule if the two of them are together. Mm-hmm. Unless they're in love, and then that's a different outcome, right?
Yeah, right. Fascinating stuff. Although, from what you're saying, it sounds like the polar bears are going to have to be pretty zen given everything that's coming for them with the changes in the environment. You've spent so much time in the field researching polar bears. Could you speak a little more, Andrew, about what the impacts of climate change are on the polar bears and what their prospects are?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Polar bears have this lifestyle where most of the energy that they take in occurs from killing seals, eating this blubber, and then basically taking it from the seals and putting it into themselves. They could eat like 100 kilograms of fat in a single meal. And out of that, about 90 plus kilos will go directly into their own fat cells. So they just balloon with fat. And the whole strategy here is seals are most vulnerable in the springtime. And that's when polar bears really make a lot of their kills, and they put on an amazing amount of weight. And then when the summer comes and the ice in some place just melts totally and seals are inaccessible, what happens is the bears are just burning off that fat store. And they can use about 1 kilogram of stored fat per day when they're not feeding. And so a bear comes ashore with a couple hundred kilos of body fat. Well, they can go a couple hundred days without eating again. That's not a problem for them. The problem is if you come ashore with 200 kilos and you need to go 240 days, that's when we start to see real problems. And we're starting to see bears running out of energy on land. And that just means that they die of starvation. They're really good at going a long time without food, but you can only push them so far. With climate change, we're just pushing. The ice is melting earlier and it's forming later. And that's the big risk for the bears, period.
Well, it's been great discussing this with you, Andrew. And speaking about going a long time, I can't believe we've gone this far without making a single bear pun. We should both be proud, I think. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
You betcha. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you today.
That's Andrew DeRoche, Professor of Biological Sciences at the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Canada. Andrew's the author of Polar Bears, A Complete Guide to Their Biology and Behaviour.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.